You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Gracie here with the Canopy Group Facts. The Canopy Group writes more new business in 1 month than a captive agent writes in 3 years. How's that possible? We'll share some other facts to make you understand. Fact two, the Canopy Group offers 16 different insurance companies, not just one. Fact three, the Canopy Group offers annual policies, not six-month policies, that leave you at risk for two premium increases per year. Fact four, the Canopy Group offers one deductible at claim time, not two, three, four, even more. Fact five, the Canopy Group will shop your home and auto insurance with their 16 companies every year. Captive insurance agencies can't do that because they only have one company. Now that you have the facts, it's time to get options. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick Royce, as you take a swig of that Diet Coke, once
and
it goes down,
lunch,
a lot to discuss.
A cheddar and bacon potato skin from TGF Friday.
This should
That's
be an
lunch.
This should be an adventure.
Well, that's
this show should be an adventure.
Yes, yes, we should be. Tuesday, Super Tuesday here today. Saints at 6:43. They're probably going to get rained out. Twins at 6. Saints 6:37. Twins.
Is that what it is?
6:40. Hey, when did the I didn't go last night. When did the 6:40 game start? Did it start at 6:40?
Started at 6:40 exactly.
Is that
first
right?
Pitch, 6:40.
So in other words, when they're saying 6:40, they're putting in the 10 minutes of foreplay in the time.
Yes.
So in other words, it's 6:30 to 6:40. That's good then.
Yep.
That's good.
We
so
really started at 6:40.
You know what?
Three hours.
I think it's kind of a baseball trend. Looking at the games last night, a lot of teams were starting at 6:30 or so. That's one way to solve your time of game problem. Just
it
start
helps.
Earlier. Just start a half hour earlier, right?
It helps a little bit. Yeah, and I think so. The Twins did that for the first couple months last year, and then I think in June went back to 7. We're staying at 6:40 now, right?
Yes, all weekday night games.
Weekday night. Okay.
I think Friday might be 7:10.
Okay. All right.
And
good.
If they ever get if Saturdays are then at 6.
I like being done. If we can get done before 10 hits, I feel good about
that
it.
That game last night went over 3 hours for no reason.
It was three on the nose, according
was
to
it
the
three
yeah.
on the nose?
It was,
three on.
I think it was my bad, too. I think in the top of the fifth, I turned to my girlfriend's stepdad and I said, hey, this game's moving. And then it came to a screeching halt.
I've had objects thrown at me in the press box for saying stuff
say
like that.
I don't say it in the press box. I say it at home. I know better than that. I know better than that.
You should never say that.
Yes. And people get very upset when you say that. But, you know, the Twins guys weren't throwing many pitches,
mm-hmm.
right? They were moving right along. Now, the starter for Seattle threw a lot of pitches and took some time.
91.
But, they're not using the wrist dealy boober, the Seattle's. They're putting down fingers.
So Seattle's putting down fingers. Houston's putting down
Boston's
fingers.
Boston's putting down fingers.
Don't trust it.
So
the teams that cheated don't trust it because they know it's going to get hacked.
Yeah, could be. Looked like Gary was having a little more trouble with it than Jeffers has last night. But, you know, as far as he kind of had to get it up close to him and look at it, a lot of them are just, you don't even know they did it.
Jeffers
right?
is very comfortable
and,
with it.
And
yes.
Thielbar had a problem getting into like his hat. I thought it was an true earpiece. And
no.
Thielbar had it on in like the side brim inside the
it's
hat.
Your hat. Yeah.
You know
got
what?
It.
He's got to go up an eighth.
Yeah.
He's got to go up an eighth.
Oh,
his
the
head.
Hat.
He's kind of got, I think he doesn't want to admit how big his head is. But
why not?
You know
I
what?
I will.
We have not properly appreciated what a phenomenal story he is. Out of baseball for 4 years,
mm-hmm.
basically going to be the pitching coach for South Dakota, right? Or South Dakota State, one of the two. His wife's an assistant basketball coach down there. No, Augustana, not even the Division II. He was going to be the pitching coach at Augustana. And he had had a pretty good year in AAA. And the Twins gave him an invite to come to camp. But he spent the whole winter working on velocity, you know, trying to change something so he could get it up to 94 when he had to. And basically, he's a two-pitch pitcher now. Throws a fastball, then he throws that sloppy curve at 70 miles an hour. Those are his two pitches, and it's astounding. I mean, he's they basically traded Rogers with the idea that he and the other guy, who's a journeyman too, can be their lefties.
Mm-hmm.
They might have somebody show up here and there, and get another lefty in here. But he's a phenomenal story because he was really good last year, and he's. You know, they ran him out there last night when it was still a close, you know, reasonably close ball game.
So. First reliever.
Yeah, and he doesn't have immaculate control, but he's a great guy too. I was talking to him after the opener and said, when he got in the game, he got in the opener, right? Or was it? He got in the opener, and I said, are you ready for 70? And he said, what? I said, well, you pitched in 56 last year, but you're going to pitch in 70 this year with two lefties. He said, I don't think so, because he pointed out that the division is really right-handed. So it's not like you can pick out an inning and there'll be two lefties. So you bring the guy in. That's 76 of our games. That's almost half of our games. And there's not a lot of, we got to get the lefty in to face this guy hitters in the division. Now, Detroit just got one, probably in Meadows, and Detroit kind of changed something. But he pointed that out. But we were talking earlier today. I was a little amazed at Bundy because it didn't look like they were like off the, you know, it didn't look like they were on the edge pitchers. It looked like he was just throwing strikes, right? He's throwing strikes, throwing 91, 92, but he was effective. What the heck?
I'm not holding my breath there yet. Like, I think this is a nice start, but I'm curious
I am too. And Seattle,
for an extended period.
Seattle is really optimistic, but you look at the lineup and you say, well, we don't know about the kid yet. You know, the Rodriguez, and he's the one reason they're optimistic is him.
Yes. Correct.
And then Hannigan is, you know, he'll hit some home runs, and they got a couple other, you know, they got some decent players.
Suarez is a strikeout machine.
He's going to be awesome.
He hit 199 last year.
Yeah, he is not good.
He'll hit some home
Winker
runs.
Winker I like.
Yeah, Winker is good. But, Winker but I like. But Suarez is, he hit 31 home runs, but he, you know, you hit those same balls in Seattle, and it's probably 22.
Yes.
You know, instead.
Oh, Cincinnati's ridiculous. Yeah,
the great American small park, as they say, they always say, you know.
That and Yankee Stadium are both ridiculous porches.
Yeah, Yankee Stadium is a disgrace. It's a disgrace. No, it really is. I mean, you hit a fly.
You pop it up.
Pop up to right center. Oh, yeah. It's a home run. And I mean, it's done wonders for. I tell you who's going to miss it if he thinks he's going to go someplace else, Aaron Judge. How about him turning down 35?
30, yeah. What, yeah.
Or 30, right?
30 yes.
A year for 8 years. He's 30.
Yeah, I know.
He's 30 years old. Nobody's going to give him that deal.
I wonder what he thinks he's going to get.
I don't know. He's
the Pujols deal is dead. The 10
yeah,
year,
yeah, that,
the 10 hey, here's year 10 years till you're 40 is dead.
Yeah, well, the Yankees, nobody else is going to go 8. He might get 30. He might get an extra $5 million a year, but he's only going to get it for 5 years. He's not going to get it for 8.
Yeah.
Plus, I think they're smart enough now to know that, you know, you get him out of Yankee Stadium, a lot of those fly balls are outs that he hits the right field, so. I don't know. I watched their ninth inning a couple of days ago. Jake Diekman was finishing for Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Lefty. I was trying to find it on Twitter because during the 60-game mini-season, I was on the Twins to get Jake Diekman because he was floating around. And they didn't do it. Now he's closing for the Red Sox. Now Matt Barnes is
he was down. Oakland at one point, right?
Yeah, Oakland? He kicked around, but Oakland? Lefty with good stuff. But he struck out Judge on about 12 pitches, and then Stanton on 3 pitches, and then he struck out Joey Gallo.
Probably took a half hour to play the
Joey Gallo
half inning.
You know, I really do think most pitchers are working faster. The pitchers are working faster, I good. Think, with the mechanical thing, but the computerized thing. But the game still, there are so many pitchers being used.
Right. What were the time of games last night? Look at the box scores.
Here. I
see,
think.
See if we got them down.
What could
back.
We save if we gave them 3 pitches instead of 8 when they arrived? What could we save?
Yeah.
Could we save a minute and a half each time?
How about
2
this?
Minutes?
How about this, too? Pitching changes are triggered from the dugout, so you don't have the whole thing of everyone going
true.
Out there.
That's true.
And then they get 3 pitches. They've been warming up the entire time.
Yes.
3 pitches, you get a feel for the mound.
And the other thing is, yes, you get you know, but the managers are never going to go for that. They want to go out and ask the guy how he feels. You know, how do you feel? You got to ask the guy how he feels.
Yeah.
And then you need to get the rest of the infield in there for the joining the 2-minute discussion before you do what you know you were going to do, right?
Nine games, 9 box scores I see in the Star Tribune.
How many 3 hours?
8.
8, including one under 3, huh?
Yep, there's a 250 between Detroit and Boston, 3-1, and Colorado, Texas went 10 innings and lasted 4-1.
Okay, that's a little long.
You think?
That's a little long for 10 when we're still putting the runner on second base.
Yeah, true.
That's, you know, we're 3-10 is the new 3 hours. Anything under 3-10 or less, you can serve. You can live with it.
Okay.
You know, don't you think? Okay. Yeah.
You know, 3 didn't feel bad.
3, no.
Twins was announced 3, at 3, and actually, I thought to myself, that didn't feel too bad.
No, it's the only, and the other thing is, if you're a writer on deadline, the 6:40 start helps you. You know, you can.
Absolutely.
You could make the early run with what the final score was, which is always a benefit, right?
Yeah, it's not
it's always a benefit.
This game was in progress when the Star Tribune went to press.
Yeah, we don't do that. We don't even do that anymore. We ignore it. But, tonight now, that's going to be a bit of a problem.
8:30 tip?
8:40.
Well, you know what?
5.
Well, welcome to the Midwest, where when your team, either in hockey or basketball, makes the playoffs, you get the West Coast assignment.
Yes, you do. And I was told by Alan Horton yesterday when I ran into him that they have to start by 8:45.
Okay.
But they give them... It's supposed to be 8:35, even though they say 8:30. Yep. It's supposed to be 8:35, but they give TNT 10 minutes to finish the other one. Then they got to start it, TBS, right? TBS.
TNT.
TNT, okay, that's...
Cleveland to Brooklyn then, at 6 our time. And
then if they're still playing at 8:45, they will run a line and say that the... TBS, so you can see the
NBA
start
TV
of,
or something.
Yeah, start of the game at somebody else. But yeah, it can be. Allegedly, they gotta be having the jump ball at 8:45. But a good NBA game now with 6 reviews in the last 2 minutes, they go 2.5.
Yeah,
they go 2.5.
Oh, in a playoff game?
Yeah,
yeah.
Throw
a play
little,
in,
and I think he told me they get an extra minute. TNT too for the playoffs. I think he told me that in the commercial break or the timeout break is like a minute longer. So it's a 2.5 hour game minimum.
So that game tonight won't end. Let's say it starts at 8:45.
12:10. That's 12:10, right? Or 11:10.
11:10.
Yeah, won't be over at 11:10. Won't be over at 11:10.
Well, and if they make the playoffs now, there's a very good chance though that the ordinary tip here will be 8:45.
You know what? Basketball, in addition to these stupid-ass reviews every time somebody tips a ball out of bounds that we get in college, you know what their number one problem is? Timeouts. We should not... Oh, they only have 3 timeouts left, they're saying. You should get Two and a half. This whole notion of, there's 3.1 seconds to go. They got two timeouts left. This game to go. I mean, it's ridiculous. We don't, because those aren't the commercial, those aren't the planned commercial breaks, right? Those are the additional commercial breaks.
Well, it depends.
Now, NBA makes you take a timeout.
Yes, because to trigger commercial breaks.
Yeah, twice a quarter. Each team in each quarter has to call one. But at the end of the game, there should not be this ungodly number of timeouts. You know, I mean, it's
did they take one away a couple of years ago?
I don't.
Or is that college?
Not in college. College gave you that automatic TV one, though.
Right,
16,
but college,
12, 8, they took
college
one.
I think, took one away from each team at some point in the
that
last
ain't
couple
enough.
Of years. No, I agree with you. Yeah, it drives me crazy.
It's
and the reviews are that's what gets me.
In the arena, it's worse than at home. At home, you can change channels, right?
Yeah.
It is amazing, though, at an NBA game that's close down to the stretch, you can watch two sports events at one time. You can just, click and come back 3 minutes later, and they're just coming out of their timeout. You can watch a baseball game and come back and...
Or if they're trying to see if it was a flagrant one.
Yeah, right, flagrant one, yeah. Anytime anybody goes like this now, is it a flagrant one? No, is he bleeding and laying on the floor? Then it's a flagrant one.
If they have to stretch him off, it's a flagrant one.
If somebody kicked him in the face and you saw it, that's a flagrant one. Was what they had in Indianapolis, right? Or in the Palace, the Malice at the Palace.
Yeah, that's
a flagrant one. When you kick the crap out of each other and then go in the stands. That's a flagrant one.
A flagrant one, you know it when you see it live.
Yes.
You don't need to go back and dissect it.
And pray that you saw somebody going like
that. That's like saying, is that porn? You know porn when you see porn. You know a flagrant one. You don't need to dissect it as far as, I don't know.
That's
about
what
that.
People tell me about porn. I couldn't really confirm that. So people, that's what people have told me through the years.
Oh,
yes, that's true. All right. Hey, I had a topic beyond the Twins and the Wolves are the big topics. I believe, and I'm going to tell you this right now.
Yep.
Even though Kirk Cousins is your quarterback.
Yeah.
The Vikings are the favorites to win the NFC North. The Packers, Rodgers is coming back reluctantly. They took Devontae away from him, who's his favorite other player. He's going to be pouting. He has no receivers. They have lost a lot of people because of their ungodly cap problem.
Uh-huh.
And these guys have managed to kick the cap problem down the road, and they've improved themselves. I mean, we're all saying they're doing the same thing they did. Well, like Thielen is celebrating that he got a 3-year deal. I got news for him. He's down the road after this is his last year, right?
Yes,
but they're
going
to pay you whatever it is and get rid of you, probably, unless he has a good year. But because they're going to have to come to Jesus on their cap here one of these years, right? Although it keeps going up.
Mm-hmm.
But the Vikings have gotten better, and the Packers have gotten way worse, I think. They've lost all kinds of guys. They don't have a receiver. They're going to have to. I am shocked that Rodgers came back without a guarantee that his man Devontae. He called Devontae the best football player he'd ever played with.
He supposedly signed off on his departure.
Well, who's he going to throw it to? The guy with the pass dropper that's fast, they lost him too, right?
Yeah, to the Chiefs.
Yeah, who brought him in after they got rid. By the way, dumbest trade ever made, Miami. Giving up that much for Tyreek Hill.
Well, yeah, that's
probably, what do they think they're going to, what do they think that's going to do? You know, it's great to have a fantastically fast receiver when you have Patrick Mahomes making plays.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Well, they've seemingly put all this pressure on Tua to prove he's going to be great. I don't think he's going to be great. That's the other thing. And then
he ain't running around. That would really be a waste of time.
If Bridgewater.
Because Tyreek, I mean, they throw a lot of short passes to Tyreek, but they. That's the Andy Reid offense that stretches out the entire field,
yeah.
And then you can hit them with. But if Tyreek wants to run past somebody more than 25 yards and Teddy's the quarterback, you're out of luck. One of the worst long passers in history.
I've been saying for 2 years, though, Pat, that I expect the Packers to finally, you know, bottom out.
Yes.
Rodgers isn't happy. They've won 26 games in the past two years. So they don't win the playoffs. But
they have. But, you know, they keep losing guy. They've lost. Now, they did bring back some of their – they brought back our guy, Devontae, and they brought back some of their linebackers. But I don't know. I you know, they're not getting better. And plus, they got a draft, way down at the end.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, this division could be awful.
Yeah.
The Bears.
I was thinking the team that could win it by going 9-8,
yeah,
the Bears, if Fields can play.
Yes.
But we don't know that.
And
there was
also
no indication to me last year that Fields can play.
Yes. And the Bears have also, though, made enough moves to purposely try and be bad that I'm not sure that they.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
why do they want to be bad?
Draft picks, strip it down. See, I mean, I think that they see the opportunity here with a new coach and GM to potentially build back up. Like, it's the opposite of what the Vikings think.
Well, so in other words, I didn't realize the Bears were doing that. I thought
to the Chargers.
Yeah, they did. Mac was, but he gets hurt all the time.
Yeah.
He was that was a good move to get rid of him. But
yep.
And the Lions, the coach is insane, and they're the Lions. So, I mean, it's sitting there now. Because, you know, if you win 10, you're going to win the division, I think.
Probably, yeah.
I'm not a Packer. You know, I love Rodgers, and I'm not a Packer basher, but I just think they keep getting worse.
I've been waiting for them to fall off.
Yes.
Until they fall off now, I'm done predicting their demise. I really thought this past year would be tough.
What have they added? Have they added anything?
No, not really. No.
These guys signed 4 or 5 players. I don't know if they're any good, but, you know, if Smith's healthy, that's a hell of a signing.
Yes, if he can stay healthy.
They got rid of they got rid of Barr. That's a good move.
And no one signed him.
Nobody signed him, no. You think, unless Zim, as a consultant, can talk Belichick into it, maybe he's...
When's Zim going to talk? When are we going to hear from Zim?
That is, somebody got to go down to the, somebody who gets along with them's got to go down to the ranch, don't they?
Yes.
And
that's a small list, Pat.
And then kind of make a dinner at his place.
Uh-huh.
And get the wines in him.
Yeah.
And tell him, yeah, Jim, this is, well, don't worry, this is semi off the record, but if it's too good, you know, you just run it anyway, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right. He wants to go after Spielman bad.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the good-looking girlfriend's already done it, right?
Yes.
She's already ripped Spielman.
And they are, you know, it's incredible, but if you listen now, the players have clearly been told to blame Mike.
Oh, yeah.
You would have thought he was the devil.
Yeah, yeah, it's embarrassing.
I didn't defend Mike, but my God, he's not completely at fault for everything that went wrong.
No, that's almost PR.
Yeah, yes.
I think it's almost
PR. I think it's Kwesi and the Wilfs decided we're going to make Mike the bad guy.
We're going to make Mike, yeah, that's true. Very sad news out of Winter Park, though. Our guy Bobby Hagan is going into retirement, right?
Yes.
Is he going to be out there for another year and then go into retirement?
Yeah, I think he got a historian title, and then he's going to retire or leave.
But he's out of he's out of the community. He's not the guy that's introducing the coach at the.
That's a good question. I don't know what they're going to do.
Jeff Anderson's got that job. He's going to be a more public presence, right?
Yes. Yeah, Jeff's a good guy too. But yeah, I'm curious to see what
Jeff's
they do.
A little more sensitive.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Seen Jeff. I've gotten some responses from Jeff that indicate sensitivity. Unlike Hagan, who would just roll with it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, well, the secret of Bobby Hagan's success, in addition to being a great guy, was he never told anybody anything. He never leaked anything to anybody.
That's true.
That could be traced back to him.
I was going to say, Sid had to get some scoops.
Yeah, but not anything that would not anything that the management would not like to see in public. You know, he was great. You could go out, you have one of his pizza joints with him, sit there, talk for an hour. A lot of fine stories about what used to happen, right?
Yeah.
And what has happened in the past.
Yep.
But nothing that was worth reporting about his team.
Yeah.
That they wouldn't have wanted to see it in the paper. That was the secret of surviving. If you could survive Denny Green and the paranoia that was out there then, you can survive anything.
Well, when did Bobby start? Late 80s?
Yeah, I think he's 30, been there 30 years, so I think it was right about when Denny started.
Because he had Denny.
I think he'd been around.
Ticey, Childress.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it is. That
Zimmer?
In that occupation. And three owners.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, Remarkable Mike must have had him. No, maybe he wasn't there for as an intern for Remarkable Mike or something. But he was, he had Roger, who was paranoid, and that crew.
And that was the Gang of Ten, right?
Yeah, it was a Gang of Ten, but Roger was,
right.
Running around with a coaching whistle thinking he was making decisions. And then you had Red, and then now these guys who are a little paranoid about what they read, too. But Red, I'm watching the Spurs the other night. They're honoring Red.
Yep.
94, before the game, Red came out and gave him a wave. And Red is, I don't know how he's doing. They said he was going to make it, and he made it, I guess. So 94.
94, huh?
94, yeah. So when what he was saying Purple Pride, Purple Pride, Purple Pride, he was 70 by then.
Yeah.
When did he buy it? Late 90s, right?
Did he buy it in 98?
Yeah, because
I think that was his first year. Tom Clancy
fell through.
Yes.
And then Red bought it.
Yes.
And I told the story again. I've told it many times. I told it on Twitter again that remember he was here for 10 days and wouldn't shut up. He was down every stop in every town.
Purple Pride.
Purple Pride, Purple Pride, Purple Pride. And I finally wrote, Red, go home. We're sick of this nonsense. I don't know why. I'd have to go back and look what it is. But basically said, get on that private jet and go home and leave us alone for a month or something, that summer. And 10:30 that morning, phone rings. This is still, obviously the home phone.
Right.
And Patrick, yes, would you hold for Mr. McCombs? And I'm saying, sure. And I'm expecting him to say, you jackass or something. He says, Patrick, I want you to know, right now I'm on the way to the airport. I'm taking your advice. I'm going home. I'm taking your advice.
Oh,
and
God.
I said, well, that's good, Red, because we're sick of listening to you or something. And then I said, when I hung up, I said, that guy's smart.
Yep.
That guy's smart. He disarms you. And
he's great.
Not. Yeah, it was. I said that's why he's got a billion, and I'm hoping my check don't bounce.
You think about the '90s, right?
Yeah.
You had Norm.
Oh God, yeah.
Who was evil, but
he's
still a complete character.
Mm-hmm.
You had Red.
Yes. You had cheap. That you had Carl winning World Series and then becoming cheap Carl.
Yep.
He had no personality. Harv
and Marv, who built the building and couldn't afford it.
Yeah. Yeah. Harv and Marv were, Marv was, he's a say anything grumpy guy, who would, Harvey was a great guy. Harvey's the guy that said, buying this team, Marv made me a millionaire. I used to be a multimillionaire building the arena and stuff because Marv dragged him along, Yeah, it was a bit different, to say the least. So, anyhow, we got quite the sports. There's a lot of. You think we got too much optimism in town here right now? We got the Wild going to have a Stanley Cup run. We got the Wolves, who I know Mackey wants Finch to be the coach of the year. I'd have a hard time endorsing that, but. Certainly an improvement, and they could Isn't it typical of the Wolves, though, that in the year that you make the playoffs for the second time since 2004, you don't actually make the playoffs?
Yeah, how about
finish
that? And you're in a playoff spot. That's the thing is, it's not the 9 or 10.
Yeah. It was 9 or 10.
It's the 7.
Seventh. You were
so 7th. You don't get to go to the playoffs.
Last time, even though they won one more game, you were 8th.
Yep.
And playing one.
Yep.
You get 7th to play memory. We should. I think it's stupid.
The playing thing?
Oh, God, it's stupid.
Yeah, but it's a direct product of the Wolves and Denver here, the Butler year, because they saw how great that game was.
The play 8-9?
Yeah. And so they said, we got to cut. It's the same thing baseball saw that one. What was that, 2012?
The last game in the last regular season game, which was 162 in the dome.
But there was also the night that the Rays were playing and Dan Johnson.
That last
and
weekend.
They said, we got to recapture this as much as we can. So they just created something.
And
to
now
do
they
it.
Got rid of it.
Yeah.
Now they got rid of
it. Created more
now
playoff
they got
teams.
Rid of the one game wild card. But apparently, I didn't realize this. I guess I should have realized it. But an incredible amount of TV money in baseball and probably in all sports is attached to playoff games. So what is the...
That's what baseball makes third.
What is your answer? More playoff games.
Yes.
The ratings won't be good, but they won't be as bad as they are for Sunday night ESPN where they're tied with cornhole, you know.
Yeah, it's a good game of cornhole, right?
1.5% or something. So, yeah, it drives us old-timers crazy, but there's nothing we can do
about
it.
Well, you used to go right to the World Series.
Yes, I loved it. And
we
didn't have social media to badmouth everybody and say the only thing that counts is rings and that crap. Hey, we finished third. We had a good year. You know? The second year the Twins finished third, and this third year they finished second. We were excited as hell. They were one year they were only 5 games behind the Yankees. We were happy.
Yep.
And now now we're instant gratification, I guess. You can't say, yeah, that was a good year.
If basketball had a first pitch tonight before the Clippers-Wolves game, Gerson should throw it.
Yeah, except in retrospect, taking D'Angelo Russell for $33 million you look at his stats. This is not, he might be the most overpaid guy in the league. He is not a $33 million basketball player. And you gave up a number one for him. I'm not a Wiggy fan, but to give him away, to pay that much of a, and the ransom for Russell is how much money you got to pay him. I think they're making the same, basically. By the way, I found out something yesterday looking at Wiggy and looking at D'Angelo. They were born on the same day, a year apart, but February 23rd.
Really?
These two disappointments of life, February 23rd.
Interesting.
I don't know. I think the whole game tonight and the postseason goes down to Russell. If he goes out and shoots 4 for 15, you don't have a chance. He's got to make some shots. And Finch said that yesterday in the press. I said, something about X Factor or something. He said, making tough shots. He said, that's what's he do for you? He can make tough shots when he's on, good.
Yeah.
When he's good. When he's not, he can.
Yes.
Because the playoffs is about making tough shots. Uh-huh. And Paul George will make tough shots.
My other question about D'Lo is this. If he's not making tough shots, can he still help you and not continue to shoot?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because there are times he will continue to shoot despite the fact he's not hitting the broadside of a barn.
I'm not big in analytics, and I cannot give you the breakdown on everything. I got to go with old numbers, right? I looked it up, and when he shoots 40%, which is not that good, but he's making tough shots. They're 27-9. And then there's another 17 games he didn't play, I think seven. I think he played 15 games he didn't play.
Okay.
So 27-9 and 15-51. And they're how many games over 500? 31? So they're like,
10, right?
They're like in those other 30 games when he shoots under 30, but they're 8 or 9 games under 500. So he's got to make, you know, I don't know. He's the funny thing is there was about a month when I said, I remember telling you guys, he's better than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's worse than I thought.
Well, he came on, he got off to a bad start,
yeah.
Came back and played really well, and then went back.
Yeah, I think he drifts. I think he drifts mentally. I think his involvement drifts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that whole thing, it was the game here, I forget which game, when he just decided to basically not participate in the timeout huddle. He just sat
when
there.
When was that?
I was at that game. It's probably 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was, and then he had some excuse he told everybody.
Yeah, but it was like I wasn't into it, so I didn't want to participate.
You know who he is?
No.
Without quite as much ability, Gaborik.
Huh.
He's Gaborik.
As much ability, yeah.
Yeah, but he's like, okay, where you been for the last 15 games? You know? You were the sole reason they went to the Western Conference Finals 1 year, and then when you were 19 or something, 20, and then he was Turkey of the Year once, you know.
Gaborik?
He was Turkey of the Year once.
Poor Jacques up the wall.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yes. Jacques saw all that talent.
Yes,
and
yes.
Marianne, as he called him, did not utilize that talent.
No, that's who this guy is. But Gaborik was, talent-wise, was, although the Russians better than him.
Oh, yeah. That's not close.
And not only for effort, but for talent.
Yes.
Because I think he's more imposing. Gaborik was a big guy, but this guy's got that.
He's got the big butt.
Bulldog body.
He's got the big butt. He can reverse hit you. But this guy also does a lot more. Gaborik was very interested in very few things.
Has anybody said, hey, Kirill, what do you think of Putin?
I don't think the Pete people are allowed to, Pat.
I don't think anybody asked him that question. No.
I don't think the Pete people, I think they might be...
they're cut off if they were
to
do that.
Yeah, I think they'd be told we're not going to be answering that question.
I know, but it would...
I mean, you could,
You could ask it, but I mean, has anyone tried?
I don't know about that.
I have no idea.
It's
probably not worth the risk because, they might say, okay, you're banned from being in Kaprizov's press conferences.
Kirill might say, hey, I love the guy. What are you talking about? My family's over there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know he's not, but I'll admit the Ruskies are in a predicament.
Panarin of the Rangers is the only guy that's come out and criticized him, Putin, last year. And then he didn't play he took like 3 weeks off. So
really? Maybe trying to get mom and dad and the siblings out of the country.
Yeah, so I think you're best off if you just say, it's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
it's an unfortunate set of circumstances. I play hockey.
I'm wondering if they're making a playoff run if... that question might appear from some guy from the Times or something.
Oh, if
like
they
that.
Play the right team, would do it for sure.
Yeah, somebody will throw that
That's
out
like,
there.
That's like when Favre was preparing to play the Jets here in October 2010. Yes. The Yankees were here for the playoff series, and everyone from the Post drove to Winter Park to ask Favre about the pictures. Because it had come out in Deadspin.
Yes.
The Post couldn't wait to get over there.
Yeah, well, that's what, I don't know how much the Post covers hockey these days, but.
They cover quite a bit, actually.
What is he, how's his English?
According to Ryan Suter, it's way better than he lets on with us.
Okay, most of them then.
Yeah.
So when he's interviewed, what had
the interpreter.
Really?
They call the interpreter. They call him on the cell phone. Kaprizov answers the question, and the interpreter then they put the cell phone up to the microphone where he tells you what Kaprizov said or what they want you to think Kaprizov said.
Knowing he was coming to this country for like 4 years,
you know
that he's
when he
goes to a restaurant, he's not having an interpreter, he's not pointing at the menu. I guess
Malkin of the Penguins did this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Can't speak the language. They're like,
well, there's a lot of Hispanic guys in baseball that are this. They know what you're saying, but they
Gary
still
Sanchez wait. Ain't. Yeah, he's
waits for the interpreter.
Waits for the interpreter to come in.
His at bats have been a little better than I thought. He doesn't.
Yeah, he looks good.
He doesn't swing wildly as our first baseman does.
Oh my God! Yeah, mm-hmm. I think the New York thing got to him.
Oh sure,
badly.
It seems like he's a outgoing, personal guy who just got the crap beat out of him when he became a villain. You know?
Yes,
but. I think these guys did take him thinking they would move him, and now, you know, might as well keep him. You know, Jeffers is now no day at the beach as a catcher either.
No.
He's okay, but
people think he's a great framer. He's not a great framer.
We don't care. Take that framing, and it's the fact that you choose your catcher based on 1.5 pitches a game. The best framers get you 1.5 strikes a game. It's such a bunch of crap. It's unbelievable.
We didn't track it at the time, too, Pat. But here's the thing. The guys that are good framers were around forever. Bob Boone.
Yeah.
Bob Boone was great. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because he'd catch the ball and he'd hold it and let you see that was a strike.
Or he'd
slightly
not
move
the ball.
Yeah, but Jeffers, I'm watching him on TV on Saturday, and he is literally taking every outside pitch. And jerking the SOB into the middle.
Yeah.
It's not down the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to. Yeah, if you're going to do that, you got to make it look like it was on the edge. Because the umpire is not so stupid that he thinks a pitch 4 inches off was down the middle.
If I'm the umpire, I tell a guy like Jeffers, you move that glove, it's a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go tell the pitcher that.
Yeah, I'm not going to miss framing when they go to the electronic strike zone.
I like my idea. You got to squat again. None of this one knee crap.
No.
I mean,
They got Sanchez had our guy, Swanson, who couldn't fix him, supposedly. So he's got him doing that same damn thing.
He's on one knee every time.
He's a big lug of a guy. He should be sitting there like a catcher, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yes.
Plus, the reason you do that is to get the ball down. They don't want the ball down anymore. They want the ball up, right?
Yes.
You know, the hitters want the ball down to hit home runs.
Right.
The old thing was the ball up, you hit for home runs.
Right.
Well, only if it's a hanging breaking ball. The fastball up here, unless it's 91 or something, is that's where they want the ball up. So it makes no sense. It makes no sense. And it really, if you're a marginal catcher like Jeffers and Sanchez, it makes the job too much harder than it has to be.
Correct.
You know?
Yes. That's the thing about it is they all think they're Johnny Bench now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just catch the ball, hold the ball. If there's a strike, it's a strike.
It doesn't seem to me that there's as many defensive catchers right now. The teams are now, they don't have to have the one guy, the second catcher who hits 145.
Which is really weird because it feels like the premium, though, is on are you good defensively? But then you're right. More and more we're getting the Sanchez's.
They want somebody to hit. Yeah, they want somebody to hit. So, and I mean, Jeffers is somebody who's very connected with the Twins. And this is hearsay, secondhand. Told me the pitchers hate throwing Jeffers.
Really?
A lot of them do. Yeah. They're not, they don't think he's.
Interesting.
I think maybe because the glove is moving around too much.
Well, they didn't have Sanchez on Saturday catch Gray because.
Too much movement.
Well, and when they, played together with the Yankees, it was awful. Their ERA was off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting about Jeffers.
And the other thing is, great excuse for pitchers, right? Guy can't, he's can't catch her. You know, he can't catch me.
That's it's not my fault.
It's not my fault. Yeah. It's a great excuse. So, it is interesting. I mean, when's the last time, who are you catching? Garver and Jeffers last year. Yeah, Jeffers wasn't there all season, though, right?
He
came up at the end of the mini season.
Yeah, the previous season, 20.
Yeah. So he was there. He was there all that.
Because it was Avila, right?
Yeah.
In 20 and Garver.
Everybody misses Alex Avila, man. That was a guy who was a quote machine.
He's in media now, I think. I think he's doing some.
I can see him doing that.
Yeah, I think he's doing MLB Network or something like that.
His father has still survived as the boss of the Dodgers.
Yeah. No, Detroit. He's still the GM in Detroit.
It's the damnedest thing. Yeah, I was there when he hired Gardy. I drove up to Lakeland. First day of workouts, I think. And I was talking to a really nice guy, Al Avila, but he was talking about analytics, that we have all this stuff now, right? All these. They were really into analytics. He had as much idea as me. He had no idea what it was, but he heard about it.
Right.
And then he had Gardy, who'd heard about it.
Yep.
And it was that was the great story that they had the what's the Rapsoda machine out in center field on a platform out in center field. They had one to and two rednecks in a truck came, climbed it up, took it, drove off. They had no security there. Two guys came, loaded the truck.
Lakeland.
Two hillbillies up there.
Lakeland,
man. Oh, yeah, Lakeland.
Lakeland's a hoot.
That's a redneck town.
I've been there. Yeah. I went to one game there. That was old school spring training.
Yes, it was. Joker marching to field.
Yes, that was a relic.
What I remember about Lakeland, I mean, when I was covering the Twins in '70s, we played them 10 times a year. You know, we were in Lakeland 5 times, Winter Haven 5 times.
Red Sox, yes.
And, you know, you went to the same places all the time.
Al Lang?
We'd get up there, but only about 2-3 times. Okay. But,
stadium.
You know, the ones in Central Florida there, you played them all the time. We also played Coco a lot, Houston, which was a hole of all time. That was the one where they would get local kids, in the morning when the dew was still on the grass to come out and chase the snakes back under the fence into the woods, into the trees.
You're kidding.
No, they got come out and beat the in case there were any snakes out there, because it was in the middle of a, you know, you think of Coco and
right.
the
beaches of Coco.
I dream of Genie, yeah. You know, you drink of Coco. This Coco and Coco Beach have nothing in common. Coco is a hole.
It's a jungle,
time.
Basically.
It's a jungle. And the field, the ballpark was crap. And then, who was the manager? Bill Verdon, I think, was managing the Astros. And he and Mock would get over there, and they'd play 9 innings, and then they'd decide they had a couple of pitchers who needed more work, and they'd play 12 innings. He'd be over there, God almighty, Gene. He'd be saying, Gene, I need a couple of quotes, God darn it. And then you had to drive back. It was like 2 hours.
And you know what? There were none of back then boardwalks. There were no outfield. The 70s spring training had no outfield boardwalks with Mai Tais and
you
right
never
field.
Got to stink as Tinker the Stinker, did you?
Oh yeah,
were you there
twice?
Is that right?
I was there. I was there a few times, 2 years in a row. Oh, I loved it. It was great.
Great seats. There was no such thing as a bad seat because there was only held. What do you think? 1,200 maybe?
Because the football stadium was right behind in right field, so there were no outfield there.
They had the bleachers down, the ramshackle bleachers down the line.
Which looked like they were going to fall
apart.
But
the grandstand couldn't have held over 1,200 people.
No.
You know, right, 1,000.
Gold seats, right? Gold-colored seats, do I remember that?
Yep. That's where you had to watch yourself if you were making too much fun of people in the press box because they could hear it at home plate. There'd be 200 people at the game, you know, unless it was the Red Sox or the Yankees.
Nobody went back then.
No. Nobody flew to Florida.
Yeah. Well, it probably cost a lot in the 70s.
Well, yeah. When did we deregulate the...
Reagan did that in early 80s, right?
Yeah. Before then, flying.
In fact, I was at a Twins-Pirates game when they came on the speaker system and announced that Reagan had been shot.
Oh, really?
And they just said, can I have your attention, please? The president of the United States has been shot.
Was it panic?
No one knew. They were like, what the hell? But I mean,
they
didn't
give you any update.
There was no social media back then.
Right, right.
They just came on and said he's been shot.
I was...
And who has your lights on, please come and turn them off.
I was covering the NCAA, my first NCAA title game.
Oh.
Indiana and was it North Carolina? In Philadelphia? Who'd they play? Bobby won it.
It was Indiana, I know
Bobby
that.
Bobby won it.
Louisville?
And
was it Louisville?
I don't think it was Denny Crum?
I
can't remember. Might have been.
I'll find it.
But I can't remember.
Great thing about the internet.
And we, you know, the game has been delayed.
Yeah.
They started like at maybe 7:30 Eastern then back then. And then we got delayed about, as soon as the other networks started using regular programming because he was out of trouble, you know.
Yep.
He was going to make it through the evening. Boom, right away we went to the basketball game, so.
Okay.
I think that year we still had a third place game too.
Oh God, yeah! I'm sure you did.
I think we still had a third.
Hockey kept a third place game forever. It was the most ridiculous.
Well, the idea was that the fans, you didn't want the fans of that team to leave because they didn't know if they could sell it out.
Okay,
yeah, North Carolina 80. When did Reagan get shot? 82 or 81?
No, 80 or 81. I'm looking right
81,
now.
81, I think. 81.
I'm looking right now at the. Yeah, let's see here. 1981, Indiana, yep, 63, North Carolina, 50. The year before, in 80, Louisville beat UCLA.
Okay.
But that was at Market Square Arena.
Yes.
This is back when we used to play.
This was in the...
Spectrum, right?
Spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. This is before we...
Before we went to...
Dome stadiums.
Dome stadiums, yes. But that was Bobby's... Was that Isaiah? Was that Isaiah?
Yeah.
Because Keith Smart was his last one.
That was Syracuse.
Keith Smart was his last
87, one. Right?
Yeah. That was a sad day, man.
What's
I was
that?
Rooting for Syracuse.
Oh.
Anybody to beat Bobby.
That was
I didn't root as hard against Bobby. I rooted against him. But I didn't root as hard against him as I did Krzyzewski.
I don't know that you've ever hated a coach as much as I've
no,
seen you
just,
hate.
No, it's the whole concept.
No, I know.
But
your hatred's very, very large.
yes. I
feel like Knight was more to agitate Sid.
Yes, it was. In fact, one of my grand achievements as a columnist was 3 years in a row. I was still in St. Paul, I believe, because I couldn't have gotten away with this in Minneapolis. Maybe I was in Minneapolis. Bobby came to town, and I wrote a column. My advance column was about the great Indiana basketball program and how the great history of it and what it means, and never mentioned Bobby's name in three columns. And Bobby could have given a damn less, but it drove Sid insane. And I think finally somebody says to me, okay, that's the legal limit. Three years in a row.
Three's pretty good.
Three, to get away with a three. Because when 41 Donut, you know, I wrote a three-month anniversary of 41 Donut, you know. And then I wrote a six-month anniversary. And who was boss then? Was Arnie still there?
No.
Couldn't have been Arnie.
That the College of Coaches?
Glenn was there by then.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Glenn came in 98.
Glenn was there.
The College of Coaches.
And Glenn said, okay, that's enough. Because I was going to, I said, I don't think I can do a 9 month because it's not, but I'll do a 1 year. And he said, no, you won't. That's enough.
And we're at what now? 20?
yeah, when did we?
Might be time to bring it back.
We didn't celebrate enough, though, right? '01 season, right? Oh, no, 01, 2000 season. It was in 01, so we missed the anniversary.
Yeah, the hell, it was a conference title game.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was
debacle.
We were Vikings were 2-point favorites on the road.
That was two very average teams.
Oh, they were.
And it should have been close.
Yeah, Sid was so, Denny, and I don't think Sid was making this up because I heard it from other people. He'd never seen Denny or a coach as confident as Denny was that they were going to kick the crap out of the Giants. And might have gotten out-coached.
Well, they claim they cheated. That was my favorite. They were stealing our
That was Marty York from Toronto.
Oh, that's right.
Marty York from Toronto. And Marty...
That's right.
Marty was a Canadian legend for creating scoops.
I forgot scoops. About Marty York.
You have a little hint of something, and Marty would create these.
Marty's still alive?
I don't know, but I had a lot of Canadian buddies who were not fans of Marty because he created all this BS and would get people to, you know, hey, did you see what Marty wrote? You know,
the Toronto papers are sneaky controversial. Or at least
they were
the
really
Leaf stuff they're great with. They love to stir up the Leaf stuff.
They were, I don't know how they're still doing now, but there were three that were really competitive back. The Sun, the Star, and the Globe and Mail. They had three dailies. And the Globe and Mail was kind of like the New York Times.
Yes. Yeah.
It was kind of straight. And then the other two would just battle it out. So I had a lot of buddies on that up there in Canada. I love those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always funny to cover the Olympics with them because anybody from Canada was the home team. Even if you're in Toronto.
They took the whole thing.
It was like us. It was like us with Bemidji. If they were in Vancouver.
Right.
They were like Bemidji.
They took the country.
They were like Bemidji. They took the whole country.
Yep.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a very Canadian thing.
Yes, it is. It's
they're very proud if you're just from Canada.
Yes.
You don't have to be from their province.
I mean, they have their rivalries in grave football and stuff like that. But yes, if it's if a Canadian athlete, like when Mike Weir won the Masters,
yep,
that was for the entire country of Canada.
Yep.
So it's like a huge state.
So like Montreal takes it, Toronto takes it, Vancouver
and
takes it.
Even with the feud between the Quebecis, whatever they call themselves, the French separatists.
Yes.
And the rest of the country, when one of the Frenchmen does something and he's Canadian in the Olympics, we're all in, you know.
They've been threatening to break off since I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, they had a vote. They had a vote once.
I remember.
Right? Remember the big vote?
Yes.
Yeah, that was, they were going to break off. So that would, Canadian, that's, and you know, the other thing that Canadian papers do, at least Toronto, international sports. They're big on international, you know.
They're definitely into different sports than we are.
They're not, you know.
Curling is huge.
We have our own Grand Slams and Masters and stuff, but they, but stuff going on in Europe, like cricket.
Yes.
They're big on cricket, whether the Pakistanis or beat the Australians in cricket. It's the old colony Euro-English thing. They're still somewhat united with the other countries that
curling
were the colony.
There is huge. It's on all the time. Like they show curling.
Well, we've gotten into it since Schuster and we've gotten into it about, you know, it was never in the Olympics until Calgary.
When they added the sports?
I think it was an exhibition.
Sure.
Because I remember sitting in the room. In the press room late at night after writing something and went in to see what was on TV in the room. And there was a bunch of Japanese reporters in there. And the curling was on and they were laughing their arses off. They thought it was the funniest thing ever heard.
Well, it is pretty funny to watch. I mean.
So I said this the other day, but Bob Verde, you know, the great Bob Verde. Did I mention this the other day that
I don't know.
Tim Sullivan, who's now writing in Louisville, was in Cincinnati for years as a columnist there. And I was talking to him. He was here covering Louisville in a women's tournament. And I was talking to him about, Verde's lead. Verde was the greatest lead writer and he was just fantastic. And my favorite was the Bears did not defeat a good team this season including the games in which they beat themselves, you know, was his lead. He gave me a better one from the way back, the 84 Olympics. We have met the enemy and it's synchronized swimming. Because that's when we were first exposed to synchronized swimming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, the great SNL Martin Short skit.
Right. Yeah.
One of the great skits of all time.
We have met the enemy and it's synchronized.
The last I heard, he was the Blackhawks historian, right?
Yes, he's the Blackhawks historian, yeah.
That's a good job. That's my last. That's the job
historian.
I want. I want
to be somebody's historian.
I don't care. I want to be somebody's historian.
I said this the other day that I was listening to Tommy Hamilton do a couple of innings for the Indians, for the Guardians.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the best. He's the best. Yep. I love him. Maybe just to get him on the show once in a while. He did two innings, had 40 Guardians and not a tribe. It was an amazing performance. How can you do a team for 30 years? And he always called them the tribe, right, when they did stuff. How could you get the Guardians 30 straight times?
He must have it.
I wonder if he must have it like Al Shaver used to have, keep the score. Guardians.
Yes.
I can't wait to see him to ask him because
he must have it, you know.
Yeah.
Thumbtacked right in front of his face.
Right. So he's got to look under it.
The problem with Guardians is you can't really shorten it.
I heard them called the guards on their telecast the other day. They're calling them the guards, at least in the
All guard. Right, I guess.
Win for the guards. The Commanders is going to be much tougher. You can't use commies. You can't use commies.
Newspaper headlines is what I'm thinking, right?
Because
you got the newspaper headline.
Headline.
Washington and
Commanders. The D.C.'s going to have to call them the C's or something, right? You're going to have to. I mean, aren't you?
I don't know, yeah.
You can't write out Commanders.
No, Commanders is too much of a head count.
Yes. Oh, God, yes.
Takes up too much space. Mm-hmm.
Stu Gotts didn't even know they were the Guardians up until a day ago, according to the Dan Levitard show. Stu had no idea.
Of course he didn't.
Stu Gotts had
God
no
is
idea.
Great.
Stu,
I don't get to hear him anymore. Where do you hear him?
On his podcast. They have a podcast now. Everything's just
like
on
us.
The podcast.
Get
they're like us.
Get him back on, on ESPN.
Oh, God, Pat. He did his weekend observations today, and it was the five best small regional airports because he flew out of Augusta.
Okay.
So I think he had Augusta
Stu
on there.
Gotts?
Stu Gotts.
Okay.
Augusta was on there. West Palm Beach, Florida was on there. Albany, New York was on there.
I've been there.
I believe Long Beach, California was on there.
Yeah, Long Beach is a good airport. Yeah.
And there was one more in New York. He had Albany and another New York one, but he had a whole list of his five favorite observations in his airports.
I'd be down listening. I'd be down with the grandkids, right? And so visiting every winter. And I'd listen to Levitard every day when I was in the car.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
And he would do an extra hour.
In Florida.
Local.
Yep, the local hour. Yep.
It was an amazing show because I always wanted to be able to just take a break.
Uh-huh.
You know, but you could never break the habit of we'll be back with.
Right.
You know, or something like that. I could never break that habit. And he would just, they'd be gone.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be gone. You know,
fire the break.
He'd have something great at the end, and then it'd be gone.
Yes.
And they'd come back, and they might pick it up, or they might pick it up like it was in the middle of the conversation.
That's why they're making millions of dollars for a podcast now.
Yeah. It's, the big number, huge numbers.
They got paid huge by DraftKings.
Oh.
Huge numbers,
so that's their big sponsor.
Yep. That's their big presenting sponsor for their show.
How much he doing, a couple hours?
Oh, they do, I think they do about three or four. Yeah, mm-hmm. and they do similar things where they have the local hour and they have, you know, kind of bonus shows built in. Because, I mean, there's seven, you know, producers on that show.
The genius of Levitard is creating Stu Gotts.
Oh, yeah.
You have to.
John Wiener.
Created. I mean, Joe, to a smaller degree, created Rookie, right? I mean, we kind of created Rookie, but Joe created Rookie. You need that. The big blunder that Bernard made was he got rid of his Stu Gotts. Terry Train.
Yeah.
So he got rid of Stu Gotts. She was the Stu Gotts of Minnesota because she was great.
Yeah.
She was marginally ditzy, but not completely.
Perfect foil. Perfect foil. Yeah. That's what you mean. Perfect foil.
Yeah. You need the perfect foil. And Stu Gotts is, perfectly willing to make $2 million a year.
Well, yeah, he's
made
brilliant.
Fun of me being made fun of at all times, right?
He's brilliant.
Isn't part of his shtick what he doesn't know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he knows nothing about sports and likes that.
Yeah.
He knows way more about sports than he lets on.
Right, yeah.
But he gets taken, I'm flown out to Vegas to appear at events and stuff like that. He's making
genius.
It is. But I miss him on the air in the morning, man.
Much like Mackey and Judd, like you miss that 9 to 1.
I do. Well, I do. Having participated in the morning, I sometimes forget you're on at 5 to 6. That's okay.
All right. You got anything else for us?
Win the game tonight. We don't want to hear all this unnecessary Wolves bashing if you lose tonight.
All right.
I'll probably participate in the bashing, but we don't need it. We don't need it. Let's have a good feeling about this season, right?
Yes.
By the way, one thing we try to remember is how much more enthusiasm there is for this team than Tibbs' team.
Yep.
They had 18 or 19 sellouts that year.
Yes.
And I mean, they drew like hell that year.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it became very clear the following training camp that it hadn't worked out as well as we hoped.
No, let's face it, the worst thing Wiggy ever did to this franchise was accept that big contract, because then that meant they couldn't give it to Jimmy.
Yep.
So,
because he looked Glenn in the eye and told him he was going to work hard.
Yeah. And, the thing about him, he's very popular over there with people because he was harmless.
Yep.
He didn't create any, okay, fine, he was fine. So.
Harmless is correct.
All right. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.
Your dog is more than just your bestie with the cutest face ever. Get to know them on a genetic level with Embark Vet. Developed by veterinarians and PhDs, Embark screens for more than 215 genetic health risks across more than 350 breeds. It's top-notch science for your top-notch pup. Go to EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DNA, that's DNA, to get $60 off an Embark Breed and Health Kit or Purebred Kit with free shipping. That's promo code DNA to save today.
Here are three good reasons to rent a Peloton bike or Bike Plus. That's right, rent. One, just one low monthly fee gives you access to thousands of classes. Two, pay month to month with zero commitment. Three, it's easier to stick to a fitness routine when you enjoy it. No wonder our research in March 2022 found that 70% of Peloton members work out more than they did before joining. Learn more about renting at onepeloton.com. Peloton, motivation that moves you. Only available within the eligible delivery radius. Terms apply.
Hi, this is Daniel Rue of the Real GM Radio Podcast. And while the NBA season is still pretty new, there are some interesting storylines going on. And for me, one of them is, let's call it a shift in expectations, because there are a couple teams that we expected to be not necessarily pushing the accelerator in the early going in the season, maybe seeing Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson, this purportedly strong 2023 draft class, and going, hey, we could be a part of that. And that would be the Utah Jazz and the San Antonio Spurs. Both teams are over 500 with some nice wins. And this isn't fluky. They're playing well so far. And so we will see how they build on this, how they react to it. Do they keep pushing, see if it can keep going, or do they change directions through trades and everything else? So that'll be something to watch in this year where the draft class is strong and these teams have incentives going in both directions. Hi, this is Daniel LaRue from the Real GM Radio Podcast. BetOnline.net is your number one source for betting football and the start of the new basketball season. Find all the latest player developments, matchups, news, in-depth analysis, and live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Can check in on your favorite games and events, including the baseball playoffs, start of the hockey season, MMA, boxing, and golf, plus sports podcasts. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more at BetOnline, where the game starts.